The message of today's gospel and this Gaudete Sunday is rejoice. Rejoice, for the coming of our Savior is near, at hand. The Lenten observance, this penitential rather observance of Advent, and sometimes in the Middle Ages it was called also Lent, but this penitential observance is mitigated for today. We have some flowers, which is generally permitted on Gaudete Sunday, and the rose-colored candle is lit, and the priest wears rose vestments because there's a little bit more joy in the celebration today, because Our Lady is with child, heavy with child, and just in a few days, she will be delivered, and our Lord will be in our midst, and Our Lady will adore the Christ child, and in her spirit, we hope to experience that same joy. And that's really what we're doing right now in Advent. You know, it's the church gives us this day to mitigate the penitential observance, to encourage us and to remind us that even though the observance is penitential, it's meant to be joyful. It's meant to be a cause of hope and near expectation. Just as when we come to the altar for the Holy Sacrifice, before we do anything else, we repent of our sins and ask for the mercy of God. And that is always the beginning of our experience of the presence of God. It's always the beginning of our experience of growing in the spiritual life. It's at the heart of what it means to come into contact with God's grace, and through His grace to bring about forgiveness among our sins and unity within the church. It's an act of humility. An act of faith. It's a recognition that without God, we can do nothing. And on the other hand, however, that with His grace, all things are possible. As the angel Gabriel promised our Blessed Lady before she consented to the mystery of the Incarnation, all things are possible with God. Even it's possible to have a virgin become a mother. In that sense, Our Lady was the weakest of all, not in a moral sense, of course, because she's immaculate, but in the sense that no miracle ever like the virginal conception had happened before, and nothing like it has ever happened again. And Our Lady was completely helpless to become a mother, but in her act of faith and humility and obedience, not only did she become a mother, but salvation came into the world. And grace to each and every one of us personally has come into the world because of her, her faith, her obedience, her humility, and her ability to rejoice in the mystery of God's presence in this very miraculous way. You know, Our Lady manifested this great faith at the beginning, at the Annunciation, when she consented to God's plan without explanation, and she manifested that faith and obedience at the foot of the cross when she saw that all of God's promises, that her son would be a king whose kingdom would have no end, were from a human point of view coming to naught. And even then she believed and had faith and entered into the mystery and the presence of God, even in this very sorrowful moment of the cross. And so we should always remember that we are in the time of God's grace. We are right now in the mystery of Christmas. Every Mass is a little Christmas. You know, I've been preaching during Advent that The church gives us these penitential seasons to remind us that this is the way life is. Every moment is a preparation for God's grace, whether it's a preparation for the Eucharist or preparation for the coming of Jesus. You know, it's a preparation for the Eucharist, whether it's, preparation for going to confession or the kinds of things that we need to do to bring forgiveness into our families or around us, or whether it's preparation for Christmas with this solemn preparation that we have during Advent, or whether it's preparation for our Lord's second coming at the end of life. That's the way it is. You know, every day is that grace that we try to recognize the visitation of the Lord. And so what we're trying to do is dispose our hearts so that when our Lord comes, we will recognize the moment of His coming, and we will accept that grace and embrace it, benefit from it, and grow closer to the Lord, enter more fully into communion with Him. And the fact that there is the observance of this very limited time during Advent, and that we actually count the days, you know, the Advent wreath is like a clock, is not only that it's such a great grace, as Chesterton said, Christmas is too good to be true except for that it is true. It's not just because it's such a tremendous grace and we anticipate, like kids can't sleep at night on Christmas Eve because they anticipate the morning after. It's also that we know that this time is limited, and that this is the opportunity, this is the acceptable time, and the clock is running out. The clock is running out. And so this is like going to the school of life, where, you know, when we were in our classrooms, and some still are, we watched the clock, and that was a bad thing. You know, we got in trouble for watching the clock. In this class, that's the whole point, is to watch the clock and recognize that our time is limited and that we need to use it as best we can, the moment that we have now. And that's really the teaching of the saints. And that was the secret of the saints. That was their secret. You know, we get distracted from the things that are really important. You know, even Christmas can be such a distraction with all the things that we have to do. And I'm not saying all of that is bad, but sometimes, you know, the content, the real content of Christmas has been stripped out, and all that's left is the tinsel and the flashing lights, and people forget why the tinsel and the flashing lights are there in the first place. This is such a great moment, and it may be the only moment that we have, and we should use it to the best of our ability. And that's what the saints did. You know, they focused on the things that were most important. And even if they were great sinners like Saint Augustine in their past life, they entrusted their past to the mercy of God and knew that He would take care of the mistakes that they had made during their life, and that at this point there was nothing they could do about it except to renew their sorrow, which didn't necessarily need to be an emotional sorrow, but this firm resolution to go forward, to make the moments that we have left as perfect as we can, as pleasing to God as we can. They also, but that didn't mean that they worried about the future either. They entrusted the future to the providence of God. I sometimes reflect, you know, on people who talk about, you know, knowing the future and the psychics who can, you know, figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's really quite impossible. I mean, it's metaphysically impossible because the future doesn't exist. There is no future. Future is just an abstract concept we have in our mind about the days that will come. It doesn't exist now. It doesn't exist until it gets here. It's nothing. The future is nothing because it hasn't come. We have no memory of it because it's not the past. It's something forward that hasn't gotten here yet. The angels can guess it, you know, better than we can, and God can reveal it to his saints, but there's nothing to know about it, and we spend a lot of time wasting our lives away and fretting it because of our own limited and weak understanding of things. And so the future also we must entrust to the providence of God. And I'm not saying that we be irresponsible and not go off and spend a day the money that we don't have and then not be able to pay our bills, for example. But what we do know is that this moment is ours. And this is something that we have, so to speak, in our hands that we can give to God. And that was the practice of the saints, like Saint Maximilian, who quoted the fathers of the church, their maxim, age quod agis, which means do what you are doing. And that's precisely the idea that we focus on what we're supposed to be doing now and do it to the best of our ability and lift that up to God, consecrate that to God, give it to our Blessed Mother through our consecration to her and lift that up. And that's where we should be focused. And that's what Advent helps us to do. We are looking, yes, to the future, to the coming of the Lord at Christmas time, but in reality, that coming is also now, because His grace is always with us, and because the Eucharist is always available to us, and because His second coming for us, whether it be the end of our lives or at the end of the world, is unknown. You know, we are told to keep watch, and for we know not the hour of the Lord's coming. We can take an example from Saint John the Baptist and his humility as he was preparing for the coming of the Lord. We always preach on Saint John the Baptist during Advent, even though Saint John did not preach before Christmas. He's only a baby at Christmas time, the first Christmas. He preached before our Lord's public ministry. However, it's the same idea, it's the same spirit, and he preached about the coming of the Lord, and his message was to be ready and to enter into a spirit of penance. His baptism and his preaching were all about the spirit of penance. And he gave the example in today's gospel, if not by explicitly expressing his sorrow for his sins, he did express it by his willingness to allow the Lord to increase and himself to decrease. He had no interest in his own agenda. He had no personal agenda. He had no interest in what people thought about him or about his own image or his standing among the people. In fact, he was given every opportunity to lift himself up a little bit and give himself a greater status, because they actually thought that he might be the Christ or Elijah returned or one of the prophets. And the scriptures say when they asked him who he was, it says he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." And in the Greek, what is reflected here by saying it, he admitted that he was not, but denied it, and then saying he admitted it again, it was that he was extremely emphatic. He made it plainly clear at the outset, so that they could not mistake his words, that he was not the Christ, and that he wasn't pointing to himself, but he was pointing to someone else. And that's the way our lives should be. Our lives should always point to the Lord, and we should be his witnesses. And that begins by recognizing how much we are in need of God's forgiveness, and how much we are dependent upon his grace. Because without his grace, it is true, we are fundamentally helpless, as even our Blessed Lady was helpless without God's grace. Helpless in particular to become his mother without this miracle. And yet with God's grace, all things are possible. but the fundamental attitude, preparation, or disposition is an act of humility, is a willingness to do penance and to open ourselves completely up to the grace of God. That should be our joy, because at each and every moment of our life, no matter what is happening or no matter what difficulties we face, no matter what we carry in our past or what the future holds in store, this moment is something that God has given us to lift up to Him. And every one of us, no matter who we are or what is in the past or what is in the future or what burdens we carry, every single one of us has the ability to do this. And that's really, in the end, all God wants. It's everything, in one sense, and yet it's all within our grasp. Each and every one of us have the ability to do this, no matter who we are or how old or young we are. We all have the ability to give God the best that we have at this moment. And if we do that, then everything else will take care of itself, or rather, our Lord and our Blessed Lady will take care of it for us. So let us then rejoice in the presence of the Lord and in the anticipation of our Blessed Mother, who is God's first tabernacle and the one who brings us His grace at each and every moment. Let us humble ourselves with her and ask her to keep us always in the presence of Jesus and under the patronage of her Immaculate Heart.